Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to tonight's broadcast of Free Talk Live, where we bring you thoughts and perspectives from peace, freedom, liberty.
It's a broadcast for the narrow mind. Maybe. I don't know. Let's work on it.
Narrow band broadcast, okay. Narrow mind.
All right.
Do you prefer your broads narrow?
Generally, yes.
Or wide?
We just talked about this with the butterflies.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
It's true.
In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
Before we go on and get to more of your calls and our stories, you can learn more about the awesome things happening in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are sure to be super helpful, and they're free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. You can visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations, and you can sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com. Thank you, Mark Warden and Porcupine Real Estate. You guys really do have freedom in mind, and thank you for your assistance to everybody who has moved here thus far. I know Mark Warden actually did. He came all the way out to Keene, New Hampshire when I was looking to buy. Mark Edge was kind enough to, you know, go out to look at my first look, right? The first thing, like, I'm considering this property. And he invited the other, so I had two marks, which, like, I'm surprised time didn't warp or there wasn't, like, a black hole or something. But I had two marks. I was armed with two marks.
In Spanish, that would be like Marky Mark.
It would, or Richie Rich. Did you take Richie Rich from Marky Mark?
No.
Did you get that idea from him?
No, I got it from the comic character.
Oh, okay.
But then I changed the spelling for copyright rules.
I got you. Yeah.
Don't. And I'm not a rapper, so I'm not infringing on that dude's.
Gotta either. Avoid the man. At any rate, Mark Warden, while he doesn't do a whole lot of business himself out in the southwestern corner of New Hampshire, he was able to recommend somebody a little more local who had over 25 years of experience in the area and was definitely, we'll say, libertarian friendly. To help me in my search. So thank you again, Mark Warden. We have more to talk about, but first let's go to, I believe this is David Ridley calling. David, you're on the Free Talk Live.
Yeah, with the NH exit hearing coming up on January 12th at the State House, I had a couple of thoughts of how we could improve on how we did last time.
Okay.
So we had good turnout at this, you know, this legislation last, you know, in 2022 that would allow New Hampshireites to vote on New Hampshire independence. We have a similar bill, this session. And, what we got wrong last time was that almost everybody testified about policy or they just said they didn't like the federal government, but not, I don't think anyone explained how the federal government had hurt them personally. And so state reps want to hear what happened to you, if possible, or at least what happened to someone you care about. It needs to be personal. That's what makes good testimony. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And I think you have a good point there. If you can give, you know, an example of how, you know, some harm, you know, monetary harm, property harm, something like that, came to you as a result of the federal government, I think that'll go far.
Or you could explain how you'll benefit personally from independence. But for what I'm going to do is tell them about an incident that happened in 2006 where I went and did a demonstration in a state tax office, a New Hampshire state tax office. Mm-hmm. Then I went and did the identical demonstration, basically, in a federal tax office in New Hampshire, but it was federal.
Yeah.
So the state office, the New Hampshire office, the commissioner came out, shook my hand, answered my questions. The federal office had me arrested.
Oh, jeez.
So all I was doing was, you know, just staying there holding a sign and handing out flyers. Well, it's illegal to hand out flyers under federal law.
I remember.
On public federal property. So that tells you right there how different the two institutions are, how much more benign the New Hampshire government is, and how much more I'd rather be governed by it than D.C. So that's the kind of testimony. What happened to you along those lines with the federal government? How did it hurt you? How did you tell it was different from other types of, you know, government?
So how else can people help with this?
With the testimony?
That and or NH Exit in general. I mean, how can, you know, where can people find out more information, and, you know, how can they contribute?
Well, if you go to forum.chiresociety.com, that's where you will see in writing what I'm talking about today. So that's just the most recent thing. But, forum.chiresociety.com, you can't really go wrong. It's always more updated than any of the NH Exit websites. And one other thing is, if you're going to testify, if you're thinking about testifying, or maybe if you're thinking about not testifying, you don't think you have anything great to say, or you don't like speaking, it's still good to go ahead and sign up. You know, sign the pink card, say, or, you know, to fill out the pink card that says you want to testify. And then when they call you, you can just say, I support the bill, but I yield my time. You know, and then you yield your time to someone who has to leave early, or just anyone. And state reps really like that, because it doesn't take up any of their time.
Okay.
What happens with during your testimony against the federal government, the state government realizes that they're doing similar things to you locally?
Well, I don't know. Independence is just the freedom to mismanage your own affairs, right? We'll have to cross that bridge when we get to it.
All right.
Just to recap here, what I've got in front of me, David, correct me if I'm wrong, 8:30 a.m. Friday, January 12th, sort of an outside demonstration, sign waving, that kind of thing, followed an hour later by the hearing, and this hearing and a related secession hearing are likely to take up most of the day. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. Cool. Anything else you want to talk about tonight?
That is all, and thank you.
Hey, Mr. Ridley, we appreciate your work. Keep it up, man, and keep us informed. Thanks for the call. 603-283-6160. That Jason Gearhart, that guy.
Yeah.
He's behind this.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that dude.
I like what he's doing. He put forth something, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but it was something like, if the federal debt, you know, exceeds, and this might be related,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is, which is, I mean, it's going to happen like, you know, next week, Tuesday or something. I don't know.
Very soon.
Pretty soon. But like, if that happens, then something gets put on the ballot to decide whether or not the residents of New Hampshire want to secede from the federal government.
I don't generally like politicians.
Yeah.
So he would fall into that category.
Right.
Except that he, like, served time for whole Ed and Elaine Brown.
He certainly walked the walk, and now he's on a mission.
Right.
And, like,
so I extend a little courtesy, knowing what he did prior to his life in politics.
There are a few people around here like that I extend that courtesy to as well. Santo Anastasio is one of them.
Okay.
Because, like, I've met these people.
I don't know his story.
Yeah, and it's fine. And we can talk about that another time, but everybody has to decide for themselves how to contribute to this thing. And while I have come to the conclusion that it's, you know, in my opinion, it's futile to try and infiltrate the state and change it from the inside, right?
Yep.
That's my opinion. Now, who am I to say somebody else can't do that?
I get it.
Right? Like, but I'm not gonna ridicule a guy for doing what he thinks is the correct thing, or at least shining some light on this thing.
Yeah.
Right? I've always maintained that if you are going to join the mafia, I mean the government, that the first thing you, the first reason you should do it for is publicizing why the state sucks.
Yeah.
Right. This is one of the reasons why I have respect for people like Ron Paul. Yes, he was a politician. Yes, he had to vote on things. And yes,
and
he,
yes
had to,
he had two first names.
And yes, he had two first names. But at the same time, like, his campaigns brought more people to the cause of liberty and even as far as anarchism.
Sure.
Right. Than anyone else that I can remember in history.
Okay. I think, again, my contention is too many people stopped in politics and didn't make it all the way to anarchism.
Right.
Because Ron Paul demonstrated, like, a path through politics. And I'm not saying that's what Jason Gerhardt is doing, but I'm also saying, like, he walked the walk for quite a long time, showed the alternative to politics, and did his time for that.
Yeah, I would welcome New Hampshire secession. That's where I'm at with it, right? Yep. I would welcome it, so... more power to you guys, and keep up the work.
I'm also still hoping that the Republican Party of Texas will get out of the way because they got all the signatures that they needed to get secession put on the ballot this year.
I heard on, maybe it was Wednesday or Thursday, they were talking about who do you think is going to secede first, New Hampshire or Texas?
Texas, guaranteed.
Because they've already got the signatures.
Well, so for one thing, and really the biggest thing is this. Texans already consider themselves an independent nation. They really do think of Texas as its own country.
Well, I remember growing up and everybody saying that, like, Texas was the only one that had it written in the Constitution of Texas whenever they were acquired by the United States, that, like, they could secede if they wanted to. And but that has proven to be not true. That's not actually a true statement. There's something like that that can kind of, you know, but it's not exactly a true statement. My impression of New Hampshire, particularly with the Free State Project, was that you couldn't do something like secede with a state the size of Texas simply because of the sheer population size, that you weren't going to be able to get all of those people to agree, or even 51% of them, to agree to secede.
Oh, I think you're absolutely
correct. Whereas with a smaller population, it would be easier to do so.
But let's also point out that the Free State Project is not as welcomed by the natives as we like to believe it is.
There is that. But so in Texas, there's something like 70% of Republicans, according to polling data, would vote to secede from the U.S.
Right.
And it's close to half of Democrats. So it is an overwhelming majority of Texans already are in favor of asserting their own nationality.
And with respect to the Free State Project, I realize that, yes, they may not be as welcomed by natives as we like them to be. And there might be some good reasons for that on an individual basis. However, this state still is the live free or die state.
That's correct.
And it has some of the fewest laws in the nation. There is a spirit of freedom here amongst the natives that I think aligns very well with libertarian thought.
Then this should have happened in 2022 when they last proposed it.
Well, and so that I think is actually the difference. So, yes, there is a live free or die spirit in New Hampshire. Yes, that is fundamentally libertarian in its nature.
Mm-hmm.
But that's different from having their own culture to the point that they see themselves as a different country. People that live in New Hampshire still see themselves as Americans.
Right.
Always have, and until we can change that, they will continue to see themselves as,
I mean,
I don't know if that's even true.
Like, I discovered this band Scissor Fight, who are from here. Back in the late 90s, they were one of these bands that, like, nearly got signed. No, not Scissoring, Scissor Fight. They have an album called Granite State Destroyer. Right, the opening track, I think, is called Granite State Destroyer. And the opening lyric is, "Weed, guns, and axes, we don't pay our taxes because we don't exist on any government list." Now, this is a markedly non-libertarian, non-anarchic outfit, rock and roll outfit, right? They're just rock and roll, right? But these are lyrics that came from them. They're all New Hampshire natives, right? So this is art coming from New Hampshire out of like the mid to late 90s that is libertarian in essence.
Right.
Right? So I don't know that there isn't...
Look at that exactly. So we don't pay our taxes, but we recognize that you should still have the right to try and tax us. We just won't pay them. So they're still American. They still expect the U.S. to try to tax them.
Because we don't exist on any government list? I mean,
if it was rock and roll in the 90s, it was also likely counterculture,
right,
which means the vast majority of people did not share those opinions.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Whereas, and ironically,
rock and roll.
The problem is, Texas might actually become an incredibly authoritarian state in short order after seceding.
Oh, they will be. On the abortion topic alone.
Oh, yeah. On certain topics, they absolutely will be very authoritarian.
Yeah.
Don't expect that you can smoke pot without going to jail in the new Texan Republic.
But the dead fetuses can carry guns.
The dead fetuses will carry guns.
Yeah,
they'll be assigned at birth?
No, conception.
Oh, okay.
First breath. Conception?
Yes.
Not really? Somebody's going to go up in there with a little mini... No, anyway...
That's when it becomes a person, and that's when it needs the right to defend its life. So, yes, it will be mandatory gun insertions for all pregnant women.
There's also a big difference between taking a life and letting a life expire when it comes to that debate as well.
Can you imagine, though? Like, I've always maintained that... it's easy to prove.
Let your life expire as I choked you.
It's easy to prove that government does not care about you. Right? Very easy. Right?
Yes.
Because if government did care about you, the very first thing it would do, like military strategy 101, right, is...
Arm you.
You can't, like, the hardest place to take over is a heavily armed population, right? So if government cared about you and was worried about some other country coming in and taking over their turf or whatever to tax you instead of them... Right, the first thing they would do is arm you, so much so that they would make it mandatory for you to be armed. They would give you guns and ammunition.
Like they gave the Ukrainians to defend against the Russians.
Right. Exactly.
Right. It's the first thing you do when you are defending a territory is to arm the population that's in that territory.
So they obviously don't care about you, and they care about you even less because of all of the things they're trying to do to disarm you.
Yep.
So it's very easy. So, can you imagine, though, like, let's just say Texas does go first, right, for hypothetical example.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden Texas is like, all right, it's a law of the land, every man, woman, and child gets a firearm. Here you go.
They're gonna have to defend a war on two fronts.
Which fronts?
The Mexican invasion and the Americans trying to take Texas back.
Would their people be really trying to take it back?
I don't know.
Like...
Yeah, who would want that?
You think, this is something that comes up all the time. You think the United States federal government is just going to let Texas go?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
All right.
Well, consider this. Right now, we're sort of at this point where there's the Texas and Florida side. Well,
Texas is pretty well armed.
I got it.
Well, no, I mean, like, democratically speaking, and, like, with the laws and everything, with the culture, there's sort of Texas and Florida on one side, and New York and California on the other side.
Okay.
So, if Texas secedes, it will just be New York and California.
Okay.
And there are a lot of people that very much want that.
All right.
So, yeah, no, there's a really good chance that they will just let them go. Also, they're really well armed, so it's, like, not worth trying to take them over.
Unless you can get them fighting on the other side as well, right? And that's that two-front theory.
Yeah, two fronts is not wise, just from a...
They're already trying to keep the Mexicans out. They're fighting the border wall thing.
There's already more Mexicans in Texas than, I mean, really anywhere. Maybe California.
I get it.
Yeah, I think that would actually solve their border crisis.
Okay.
All of the Mexicans who are currently crossing in Texas would just move to, like, Arizona because they want to get into the U.S. And if Texas is no longer part of the U.S., where they have a welfare state, because believe me, Texas, as a republic, is not going to have a welfare state.
Texas is smart. They just take everybody that's there illegally and be like, poof, you're a citizen.
I don't know how well thought out this theory is, but I have had it proposed right? Like the Mexicans that enter into California and all the other states consider themselves Mexicans.
Yeah.
And the Mexicans that enter into Texas consider themselves Texans.
Right.
So
right.
Maybe they have an ally.
I mean, maybe. Like...
They're still trying to keep them out, currently.
In my brain, I hope that that's how it turns out. I think that if Texas does secede, that they have an enormous resource in front of them, a human resource, that is, the Mexicans who want to come over.
They won't take the welfare because they won't have it.
Right. And the ones who want to work, to make a life for themselves, right? And they're willing to do so, right? Those are the people that you welcome.
Yeah, and the conservative leanings of Texans is perfectly in line with the Catholic leanings of Mexicans.
Yeah.
So it may very well be the opposite of a two-front war.
All right.
Like, in fact, they might be such allies with Mexico that it helps defend them against the U.S. even trying to invade.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
I hope that happens.
I mean, best case scenario for sure.
Yes.
You know.
Absolutely.
And man, it would warm my heart to see something like that.
I think that there is a lot more cultural commonality between Mexico and Texas than between Texas and, say, California.
Oh, yeah. Well, certainly.
Then why are the people in Texas so, like, hell-bent on keeping out the Mexicans, then?
The welfare.
Yeah. Is that the only thing?
I swear to God.
But if the ones coming in aren't getting on the welfare, though.
It's two things. One of them is the welfare, and the other is the political shift.
Okay.
Yeah. I swear to God, if welfare was just gotten rid of, the whole immigrant thing goes away. Everybody's problem with it goes away. Because if welfare just doesn't exist, there's no problem.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. That would be the actual solution.
Yeah.
It's why it's so irritating to me to hear someone who is ordinarily fairly rational, say Molyneux, for example, who goes hardcore on the, no, we got to build a wall, and that's why we got to support Trump, instead of taking the principled position of, no, what we have to do is end the welfare state.
Right.
There is concern on the conservative front that the open borders are letting in terrorist sleeper cells, and they will just heighten that propaganda. How many Hamas people have gotten in through the open borders so far? Like, there are people concerned about that now.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right, so if you get rid of the welfare state, they'll still hammer on, you got to close the borders because you're letting in terrorists.
I mean, that's a whole other thing. But I don't think that issue is as wide as the welfare issue.
It will be if you solve the welfare issue. That will be the problem.
That's true.
By default, yes, but I still don't think, even if they propagandize that thing to its fullest extent, I don't think it'll ever grow to the largesse of the welfare problem.
Oh, you haven't paid attention to local Texan politics. They are really focused on the Muslim threat. Like, seriously, they are largely convinced that there is a communist Muslim alliance that is a very existential threat to them.
603-283-6160 is the phone number if you'd like to join the conversation tonight. Who do you think will secede first? Texas? New Hampshire? Oregon? South Dakota? Nebraska. Hawaii? Nebraska? Let us know. Long Island?
Alaska!
We don't know. Give us a call. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA News News Update. We begin this Saturday morning with the weather this weekend. Let it snow. New York to see up to 12 inches of snow, while New Jersey and Connecticut expected to get half that amount, around 6 inches, as the Midwest gears up for possible blizzard conditions. Grammy Award-winning singer Michael Bolton, best known for this song, How Am I Supposed to Live Without You, reveals he was diagnosed with a brain tumor and has had immediate surgery before the holidays. In a note to his fans, he says he'll be taking a break from touring to focus on his recovery. Bolton, who is 70, writing on Facebook, "I am now recuperating at home and surrounded by the tremendous love and support of my family." And the Supreme Court will take up the Trump Colorado ballot case on February 8th. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
We have a pretty good name here to mention.
Oh, so you're already chuckling at the live read?
I'm already chuckling at the live read. I am. It's true. I picked it up and I laughed. I've read this person's name before because, I mean, I've been doing this thing for like 4-ish years now.
Okay.
I think my 5-year will be on like September or something.
We got to talk about that. Not your end. Like my anniversary is always marked by like Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh yeah, that's
and
right.
I don't know when Super Bowl Sunday is.
Is this February or something or another?
Okay, yeah. But I may want to, you know, be on.
But it has moved.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, because they expanded the season by like an extra game for every team. So I think it moved like 2 weeks. I don't know. I'll have to look it up.
I mean, I don't know the exact date. I mean, I could look up the exact day, but I've always marked it as Super Bowl Sunday.
Okay.
As my free talk of.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
And so that's your basis of time.
For this show,
is what the NFL says.
Yes.
Huh.
Well, at least to mark his free talk of anniversary.
I mean, it's less unreasonable than saying that the president can decide when daylight savings time gets shifted to. Yeah, so.
Sure.
It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Beagles Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
Before we go on, I have to say thank you to Alex Weed.
Hee
Chuckle. Alex Weed is a platinum level amplifier. What does that mean?
$25
$25 a month Alex gives to Free Talk Live for the purposes of advertising, marketing, promoting, and supporting this radio program. Alex enjoys the hosts, the co-hosts, the topics, the callers, the perspective that we bring to the airwaves of freedom, liberty, and prosperity, so much so that he thinks it is the best use of his Liberty dollar to give that to us so that we may get this program onto more radio stations. We're currently on somewhere between 180 and 200 stations at last count. We could be on more. We could be on 250, 300, 350, not out of the question. It's all up to you. If you find value in what we do, if you love this program, if you like the hosts, the co-hosts, and the perspective we bring, please consider becoming an amplifier at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Alex Weed. We appreciate you.
And if we're on more radio stations, then we don't have to put the same show on the same radio station twice at the same time. We can distribute that more equitably.
Let's go right away to your calls and thoughts. We have Dana calling from Michigan. Dana, you're on Free Talk Live.
This comment, can you guys hear me? Because I got a dead spot in my house.
I can hear you.
Okay, great. This is for Peakless. You were talking about secession. Texas seceding, and then the possibility of them turning authoritarian after they seceded. And the example, the first thing out of your mouth was their attitude towards abortion.
I might have brought that up initially,
Well, let me finish. So, okay. What's more authoritarian than taking someone else's life? That is exactly what Mao did, Stalin, Lenin, Pol Pot.
United States.
I could go on and on. And even you guys claim U.S. involvement and innocent civilians being killed in the different wars that we have participated in.
Yep.
I think that is so antithetical to libertarianism and conservatism, I think you guys need to focus outside the womb first and fix those problems before you decide to start sucking the life out of women's wombs.
Sure. Like, that's reasonable until you read stories about an unviable fetus that Texas won't let be removed from the woman, even though it's going to turn into nothing. It will be born still. It is causing her medical complications, and they have medically kidnapped her by not allowing her to even leave the state where she can go get a medical procedure to remove the unviable fetus. Right? Like, okay, that's authoritarian.
So my response to that is apparently you haven't read that she did leave the state. She was not kidnapped. And there were multiple doctors that came forward, said they had successfully treated, I think it was trichome 18 or something like that, successfully treated that, and both men and, or not men, boys and girls are living full, healthy lives. She wasn't even willing to try.
Okay.
To have the baby and have it treated.
I think, Dana.
Guys. These are world renowned. Let me finish my sentence, Captain. They're world renowned doctors that specialize in this, and she wouldn't even try. You know what? That's why they call it faith. You've got to put it in a higher power. Either you believe or you don't. But I don't want to argue that.
Okay, well, hold on. You want to bring up faith. You want to bring up a higher power. Let's talk about the Bible.
Now, the Bible
puts a very specific difference on what you do to someone who kills a baby versus what you do to someone who causes a woman to miscarry. So in your basis of faith, they still discern between a fetus and a baby.
before we go getting upset about things and definitions and whatnot, it is a little bit hyperbolic, Dana, for you to tell us that we are attempting to legislate people's wombs. Nobody in this room is in control of anybody's womb. None of us are removing fetuses from wombs or anything like that ourselves.
Did I say that?
You insinuated. You insinuated. You said before you go deciding on what does and doesn't get removed from women's wombs, you should blah, blah, blah about yourself instead. So that is what you said.
No, that's not what I said. I'll repeat what I said.
Okay, go ahead.
Before you involve yourself in someone's womb, why don't you focus on the problems we have outside of the womb? I didn't say anything about getting in the removing anything or you ending life. I said before you get into the womb. It wasn't I, a peakless, that brought up abortion.
Actually, I didn't bring up abortion. That wasn't my go-to. My go-to, like, again, people can't tell the difference between Richie Rich and me, and well, really becoming
maybe a problem. Rob is really on your side then.
It's really becoming a problem. I brought up cannabis. Now, at the moment, they are somewhat limited on what they will do to you for possession of cannabis. If they become a republic of their own, that will skyrocket. They will absolutely become terrifying to the people who choose to have the wrong flower.
Yeah, what we were trying to get at, Dana, was we were trying to objectively...
I was watching you, Dana. Guys. I don't know who said the example.
It's the long-haired guy with the beard.
Right, yeah. Well, that excludes me.
I know
me.
Who you guys are. I was watching you, and I've watched you before. What I'm saying is the first thing he used about authoritarianism was abortion. The second example was immigration, and he got off abortion. I know what I heard, but more importantly, I know what I saw. I was watching you, Peakless. I'm just mad as hell that you guys went there. That makes me mad. Because
you can be mad all you want about it. That's what Texas is going to do.
Do you believe that people should be put to death for abortions?
No. Nobody.
That is what they will do when they become their own country. They will put people to death for murder, for causing abortions. That is what they're going to do with that power.
I don't believe they can get shot.
And you're naive.
Okay. Well, hey, Dana, thank you for the call. We do appreciate you. 603-283-6160. I mean, the fact of the matter is that none of us were talking about what we're going to do or what we do. We were putting forth a hypothetical of what might happen.
Or prediction.
Texas, or prediction, even, what might happen when Texas secedes based on its current political climate.
Yeah. Christian conservative values, forget about it. You're not, like you said, you're not going to get your drugs. You're not going to get, you know, you're not going to get your women's rights as far as abortion is concerned.
Yeah, there will be absolutely draconian sentences for owning the wrong flower if they get that level of autonomy.
Amongst other things.
Now, on the bright, I mean, it's not all bad. There will probably be much better gun ownership laws than currently exist there. There will be a lot of positive changes, I'm sure. But they will also be very likely to go very authoritarian on social matters.
I would love to see all of the states secede so that we can have what I like to call the beginning of a political market. The market for freedom, if you will, does exist. And when states start having to compete with other states for their citizenry, right, i.e., provide the most amount of goods or services for the least amount of taxation, stuff like that. Once that begins to happen, right, once that competition kicks in and these states have to compete with each other, then reduction of the government to zero becomes almost inevitable.
I mean, there's like 180 countries, man. Don't you already have that? Is that not enough competition for you?
No, because they don't act competitively.
So you think with 50, you add 49 new states that all of a sudden there's going to be competition in the market?
I do. Okay. It adds that much more competition, yes.
Well, you got 180 competitors now, and you're saying they're already in collusion and not acting competitively.
So if you just look at America's history, when there was a less developed federal government, there was a lot more difference from state to state.
I got it.
And because of that, there were a lot more possibilities being explored.
I mean, hell, even when I grew up, man, like when I was 12 or something, the drinking age in Wisconsin was like, I think it was 18.
I got it.
But, like, across the border, it was 21.
No, well, I understand what you're saying.
And that's just recent history. But
there's a lot of countries in Europe. There's a lot of countries in South America.
And let's just take it to...
There's a barrier to entry for that, though.
Okay. Let's just take an example of today. Why is the Free State Project attractive to people?
I don't know. It's not the women.
Okay. It's because they have selected a state that most... You know, the one state that most represents libertarian values, that is New Hampshire, right? That makes it attractive. That is competition, right?
New Hampshire. I understand that.
And so we already have this in a small way. Once you get the federal government out of the way, the states are then free to become more different from each other. Instead of homogenized, because the federal government does things like holds your road money hostage if you don't conform.
How is that competition any different from any other country in Europe or any other country in Africa or any other country in South America?
Because there's a huge cultural barrier to entry by not speaking the same language, by not having remotely similar customs.
So they're not competing for citizenry?
They're not competing for English-speaking citizens of this general culture. So, like, if I drop you off in Kenya, you will not get along well. You don't speak the language, you don't know what's expected of you, you won't get along with the people there.
Okay.
Now, if I drop you off in Connecticut, you might be upset, but you're not going to starve.
Okay. If you drop me off in England or Ireland or Scotland, I speak the language.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't have the same accent.
Right. You speak
they're
the
language. They're not competing.
Drop me off in Ireland, at least for a while.
No, I would absolutely say that at the moment, England and America are very strongly competing over, to the extent that they are different.
Okay.
They compete over English-speaking people.
Okay.
To the extent that the United States would be a much different multicultural conglomeration of geographic areas without the federal government, the European Union would be the same without, well, the European Union.
Okay.
Right? So all of those countries would be less homogenized than they are because they also have the equivalent of a federal government over them.
Well, that's in history, that's relatively new.
Still exists.
I got you. But so before that, you're saying they weren't competing for citizenry? Like across 180 countries, they want, you know, maximum citizenry. The governments want maximum taxation amongst that population. But right now, they won't compete. And if we just eliminate one of those and replace it with 49 new ones, all of a sudden we have this increased competition in the marketplace?
So if you,
for
yes.
Countries?
Yes.
Okay.
And
if you
I say
that,
that
that's
I,
fine.
No, I say that because government is the opposite of competition.
Well, but you're going to have 49 new governments.
It disincentivizes competition.
Then why would you introduce more governments?
Well, the same amount of governments would exist. We'd be eliminating one.
No, you'd have 49 new countries on the world stage.
Well, those 49 countries already exist.
This is getting into semantics. So... Yes, you are eliminating one federal government,
right.
And there are currently 50 state governments.
Right.
Whether or not that counts as a government is really subjective.
It's going to if they're now their own country on the world stage.
Yeah. I mean, to that extent...
So basically his question seems to me to be, how is it going to improve matters when you are increasing the number of national governments? Because national governments have really been a problem.
And you're all, also to the problem is of the 180 governments currently in operation, allegedly are not competing for citizenry, but these 49 will. That seems like a bizarre claim and a stretch, because either all governments do want to compete for citizenry and maximize their taxes, or they don't.
Right.
Right. If that's what governments do, then the 180 should already be doing that. And if they're not...
Governments do not want to compete for citizenry.
Then why would these 49 new governments do
it? I disagree. I think that the 180 governments are currently competing for citizenry. It's just that that's not a major priority.
Okay.
Whereas,
right, you're right. It's not they're not driven by market forces, right, so that is not a driver.
Right.
It's not a primary driver. Right. Yeah.
And
the same would hold true for your 49.
Right. And well, no. So a big part of it is the difficulty of transition. So having the same language, having the same culture, more or less, having just being connected by land so that you can just drive there as opposed to having to cross an ocean is actually a pretty big difference.
Sure.
Like, if I wanted to move to England, that is way more difficult than leaving New England.
Okay. It also gives the opportunity, right? Like, there's an opportunity there for some things to happen, for states to differentiate themselves one from another and that kind of thing that they don't currently have the option to do.
I guess if you limit it to the English-speaking world, fine, but I'll go back to my example, South America, Africa, Europe, right? There's some homogeny there in language in each geographic area, so they ought to be competing the same way you think the states will be competing, but what I've heard so far is that they're not.
I can't speak because I'm not educated on that particular area of the world. You know, most of my life has been spent in the United States.
All right.
So
I'd say there is definitely some competition from country to country in South America over population.
All right. Fair enough.
And also, like, just even, like, having moved here from, you know, Washington State, right, I'm so glad. Because my advantages here are significantly more than they were there. And that's with a federal government. Now, you know, am I a unique, you know, thing within that? Perhaps. Perhaps I've taken advantage of the arbitrage between states, right? I've gone from, you know, one state that was more authoritarian by far to one that is less authoritarian by far, you know, with regarding, you know, taxes, that kind of stuff, and the amount of laws and that kind of thing. But to me, that's important. So I'm going to obviously be driven towards something like that. To me, that's a primary driver, more freedom. Now, not everybody has that as their personal primary driver.
Some people care about climate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they go to California,
right,
where there is no freedom but great weather.
Right.
Well, in that case, then, what does, if you can already do that as far as the states competing already, right, the weather, the freedom, whatever.
Well, it just steps up the level of competition because of how much they are forced to be similar right now.
Okay.
So I think you're right that the existing nations do compete with each other for population on some level.
Okay.
And, yeah, 179 countries is going to be less competitive than 180. 180 is going to be less competitive than 181, and 220 is going to be more competitive than 190.
Right.
Okay. But the original claim was that they're not being competitive now. So if we reject the original claim and say that, for what you said, Peakless, that they are being competitive, then fine. It follows.
By default, they have to be slightly competitive, I guess.
Okay. Right.
Right. But they would be more competitive had they been left alone by the federal government.
Okay.
Right? And so because the federal government is attempting to homogenize or make everything the same, right, we have less competition between the states.
Mm-hmm.
So if the states were, get this, more free to compete with each other, we would get more competition.
Yeah. And the same thing does exist on the nation level, just with organizations like the World Bank and the IMF.
Okay.
So they homogenize different countries so that they are less distinct from each other, so that there is less of that arbitrage opportunity for someone who wants a particular thing in their culture.
Got it. Again, if you change the original claim, I'm fine.
Okay.
All right.
Good enough. Well, we still got to fill like a couple minutes of air here, so
let's talk about the insurrection.
Let's go back over to this
insurrection
article.
Day. We haven't done any of it.
It's true.
Defining and understanding that historic day requires solid information, full context, and willingness to look beyond the narratives that began before January 6th was even a few hours old. January 6th is a much larger political and societal movement designed to usher in a, quote, new America, unquote, according to Victor Davis Hanson, an American classicist? Huh? Okay. Military historian and political commentator at the Hoover Institution. I heard the Hoover Institution really sucks.
Yep.
You get it?
Are we going to have, like, J6ers? Is that going to be, like, a thing? Yeah, I was a J6er.
Oh, yeah.
Back in 21, man.
Like, they even, like, the FBI sent people out to find people who demonstrated on January 6th, not in D.C.
Yeah.
So if you demonstrated at, I don't know, the New Hampshire Capitol or whatever other places, your local town hall or whatever it is,
right.
Like they sent FBI agents out to find these people.
I get it. So this, we don't have much time for me to bring this up again, but this is part of the reason why collectivizing the enemy has to be a thing, because what the state will do is just this. They will allow you to have your protest collectively, do all that you want, and they will pick off every individual singularly along the way.
Right.
And so there's no collective defense when they're knocking on your door. Right? Like you had your fun at the protest, but now you're going to get arrested and there's no one going to be around to support you.
Well, and so
communities need to stick together beyond that.
And this is the effect of having a uniparty. So if there was an actual tangible difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, then the Republicans would shore up their ranks when they got individually picked off. For example, when the guy with the bison hat
got, shaman.
Yeah. When the QAnon shaman got arrested, if the Republican Party had been different, realistically, if the two parties had been realistically different, the Republican Party would have jumped to his defense and said, no, he's one of ours, you can't come after him.
Hands off.
But they have been completely identical to the Democratic Party for so long that there is no collective defense.
I'm aware.
Why does January 6th matter? January 6th and its aftermath had a broad impact on American society. The U.S. Department of Justice, DOJ, and the FBI launched an unprecedented use of federal power that, while currently wielded against people right of center, could easily be unleashed against any group.
You don't say.
The January 6th investigations and prosecutions have raised serious concerns about due process, pretrial detention, jail conditions, equal protection under the law, and, perhaps most significantly, First Amendment guarantees.
Any group that protests will be picked off individually later.
And I think the biggest thing about January 6th is it's a difference of how people perceive the event regardless of the information. And the same thing happened with COVID. If you were on this team, no matter what information you got presented with, you were going to believe the same thing because it became an article of faith. And for the people who are on the left, January 6th was an insurrection and no data will possibly convince them otherwise.
Yeah, they've taken this word and applied it to something that doesn't fit the definition.
Well, and preventing Donald Trump from running for president in certain states.
But yeah, they think it was an attempted overthrow of the government, and no data will convince them otherwise.
We're out of time. Thank you to all of our callers. Thank you, Pete Bliss. Thank you, Richie Rich, for joining me tonight. If you missed any part of tonight's show, go find the archives over at freetalklive.com. Thanks, and peace.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline. airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.